This is Quality News Network. Heavy rains continue to pound the mid-Atlantic states and are moving into the northeast, where part of a New York interstate has been washed away. Because of flooding and high water, thousands have been evacuated from their homes, including the 2,200 near a rising lake in Maryland. So far, 9 deaths have been blamed on the weather, and forecasters say the rains will continue for the rest of the week. Israeli warplanes have cut off electricity and water to most of the more than 1 million residents of the Gaza Strip. It's part of an offensive to try and secure the release of a kidnapped Israeli soldier. The Hamas-led parliament is calling for a prisoner swap and says it's not likely that the Israeli military action will result in the soldier being freed. Russian President Vladimir Putin has ordered his country's special forces to find those who killed the 4 kidnapped Russian diplomats in Iraq earlier this week and, in his words, destroy them. Al-Qaeda in Iraq has claimed responsibility for the murders. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki says that since his 24-point reconciliation plan was announced on Sunday, several insurgent groups have contacted the government and expressed an interest in peace efforts, but he says there will be no amnesty for those who have killed American troops or Iraqis. In today's violence, more car bombs in Baghdad and Bakuba, killing at least 3 civilians and wounding 20. Also in Baghdad, police have discovered 4 bodies near a Sunni graveyard. China's premier says he's very concerned that North Korea could test fire a missile and is urging all sides involved to work towards easing tensions. His comments following a meeting with Australian Prime Minister John Howard. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is promising Afghan President Hamid Karzai that the U.S. will remain for as long as it takes to rid the country of the Taliban. The Senate has voted down a flag disaggression amendment to the U.S. Constitution, but it was just one vote short of the two-thirds needed to send it on to the state legislatures for ratification. New Orleans public housing residents have filed a civil rights lawsuit against HUD and the Housing Authority of New Orleans, saying the agencies are keeping low-income black families out of the city. California lawmakers have narrowly rejected a bill that would have allowed the terminally ill to enlist doctors to help them commit suicide. The Archbishop of Canterbury is proposing a plan that could force the Episcopal Church in the United States either to renounce gay bishops and same-sex unions or give up full membership in the communion. And Planned Parenthood says it will distribute free morning-after contraceptives at Colorado State clinics on Friday to protest the governor's veto of a bill that would have let pharmacists prescribe the bill. 8 states currently have laws permitting women to obtain the contraceptive called Plan B over-the-counter. This is Quality News Network. Business news is coming up.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Dell plans to launch a new service today that uses mapping technology from Google. There may be a delay in getting Apple's new next generation of iPods to the market. An industry analyst says the new Nano, expected in the third quarter, will likely be pushed back to December, and the new video iPod could be delayed until the first quarter of next year instead of the end of this year. UPS planes will start carrying the U.S. mail this weekend. The deal with the Postal Service is worth more than $1 million. Daimler Chrysler expected to announce soon that it will launch its 2-seat smart minicar in the United States in the year 2008. Athletic gear maker Nike is reporting a drop in its quarterly earnings, the result of higher raw materials costs, World Cup marketing, and an arbitration ruling involving Converse. British music group EMI has rejected a takeover bid from Warner Music worth $4.5 billion. Oracle CEO Larry Ellison, who promised Harvard a $115 million endowment last year, is reneging on that promise. He says he's changed his mind because of concerns about the direction Harvard is heading since the announced resignation of its president, Larry Summers. AAA says more than 34 million Americans expected to be on the roads this weekend, the biggest vacation travel weekend of the summer, despite $0.65 a gallon gas prices that had been a year ago. Light sweet crude oil is trading at $71.90 this hour a barrel, 2 cents down. On Wall Street, trading is mixed. The Dow up 1, NASDAQ is down 2, and the S&P 500 is up 2 points. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I was preparing for today's show yesterday. I was going to do a typical week in review, looking through all of the different articles, and it was a fairly typical week for the administration. Oh, they were hyping a terror threat, pretending there was one when there really wasn't. We learned that they were spying on innocent Americans, checking out all of our bank accounts and credit card records, helping, of course, dictators abroad, like the dictators in Egypt, while squelching democracy both at home and in places like Iraq. All in all, a typical week. And I was not clear. Do I talk about Wayne White, the State Department official who told the Bush administration early on about the Iraq insurgency and was going to warn everybody, of course, wasn't listened to? Or do I talk about the fact that the Food and Drug Administration was ceasing to regulate food and drugs because, after all, the pharmaceutical companies are in control there? And trying to figure out what to talk about when it caught my eye that the constitutional amendment to ban flag desecration was within one vote of passage. And I read a number of articles that suggested that they might just get the two-thirds they needed in the Senate in order to, for the first time in American history, amend the First Amendment to ban a segment of speech, declare for the first time in history that certain speech acts were thought crimes and be punished. And, you know, I'd never really taken the constitutional amendment over flag burning very seriously. I admit that. I understand the Republicans fear it is the most important issue facing the nation, far more important than 2,500 dead in Iraq, far more important than trillions in debt that our kids have to pay for, far more important than gas prices or the secrecy of the government or even than combating Osama bin Laden. I knew the Republicans felt it was important, not because they care about the Constitution, but because, of course, it's the week before July 4th. They got to get this in because people will think they're not patriotic if they don't want to ban those that would burn the flag, if they don't want to put in prison those that would make those thought crimes. And so I really wasn't watching the debate too closely, I have to admit, until I read that 66 members of the Senate had already committed to voting for the bill. They only need 67, a two-thirds majority. And in fact, if one senator doesn't show up, 66 is enough. You know, if there's a vote 66 to 33 and one person abstains, bingo, you have a constitutional amendment. And I began to think about constitutional amendment to ban flag burning. Again, it's not like flag burning is a terrific problem in America. According to the Citizens for Flag Alliance, okay, Citizens Flag Alliance, these are the people who are most supportive of amending our First Amendment, of getting rid of free speech rights, of making it illegal to burn an American flag. There were four incidents last year and only three the year before. So that's a huge 33% increase, right? Throughout the entire United States of America, four Americans thought to burn a flag. Of course, if they do burn a flag that belongs to someone else, well, that's theft, that's arson, that can already be prosecuted. So I'm not sure, frankly, whether there's three or four could be prosecuted under other statutes. But I decided to turn on the debate, and I watched the debate yesterday. Frankly, they had a hard time getting senators to the floor. They had these long quorum calls. It seems that amending the Constitution of the United States really isn't a big deal to most of the Republicans. Add an amendment here, an amendment there. Which was interesting to me because, as I'm sure you realize, the Constitution's only been amended 27 times in all of American history. First 10 are the Bill of Rights. And so, 17 more times over the course of 215 years. It's not a very common occurrence. And yet the Republicans seem to treat it like, change the Constitution is no big deal. After all, they had just voted a week earlier or two to change the Constitution to prevent gay Americans from having the same rights to marry that straight Americans do. So clearly, the Republicans hate our Constitution and want to change it as much as possible and, you know, do so lightly. But I thought, you know, this isn't an issue. It's no big deal. Of course it won't pass. So I turned on the debate. And knowing, of course, that, it was very close this year. I mean, Democrats, people who I would never expect, Dianne Feinstein of California, Mark Dayton of Minnesota, Debbie Stabenow of Michigan, Menendez in New Jersey, Democrats I really didn't think would mind standing up for civil liberties, standing up for the right to dissent, were going to vote for this amendment. And I got concerned. I did. I got concerned. And I thought to myself, why do I mind? Why do I care if they ban flag burning? I looked more at incidents of flag burning in the past, and I found that the last time that there was any large number of flag burning, and there was like three or four year by year, the last time that hundreds of flags were burned was 15 years ago when Congress outlawed flag burning until it was overturned by the United States Supreme Court. And I thought to myself, I would never burn an American flag unless it was illegal to do so. I wouldn't burn an American flag because I believe in my country. I love my country. I love Old Glory. I'm kind of a patriotic sop in some ways. I write on my website, when the Star-Spangled Banner plays, I do my best to sing it. I may be off-key. Most Americans are. But I will shush everyone and ask for the respect that our anthem deserves. I mean, when I lived in Switzerland for a year, and I came back, I remember watching the American flag and practically kissing the ground. And not that Switzerland's an awful place. It's a very nice place. But when you're gone from your country, you really miss a lot of things. And for me, the American flag does stand for democracy and freedom and the Constitution. But if you ban the American flag from being burned, if you say, in effect, that you are not free to dissent from American policies, to show that dissent with one of the most angry, nonviolent acts that you can do to burn an American flag, then it struck me the American flag no longer stands for those principles. There are only three countries of which I'm aware which ban the burning of their flags. One is China, one is Cuba, one is Iran. We were going to be one vote away, folks. It happened yesterday. One vote away. We were going to be the fourth country in the world that was insecure enough to think that there was a danger to the country if a person drew a symbol on a piece of paper or on a piece of cloth and burned it. And what struck me in the debate was all the people that said that Americans died throughout all these centuries for that flag. I sure hope and pray that not a single soldier died for a piece of cloth. It is not the American flag which is sacred. The American flag is a symbol. It is a symbol of freedom. It is a symbol of hope. It is a symbol of democracy. And the moment it no longer becomes a symbol of freedom, the moment you treat it like an idol that can't be desecrated, well, it's no longer a symbol of freedom. I do not believe in idols. Maybe it's my religious sensibilities. Maybe it's just the belief that nothing here on earth, if you will, is sacred. And yet the text of the amendment would ban desecration of the flag. When I come back after the break, I want to talk about what desecration really means and why it is that I would say that the only thing that one should do if flag burning is made illegal is burn a flag. And if you disagree with me, you know, I always welcome you to call in. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. You can post my website at www.radioinsidescoop.com. But I was surprised yesterday. I was really surprised to learn how nervous I was by the possibility that this amendment might pass. We'll be right back after this.
Guy James means straight talk and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
No. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
The Native American Journalists Association is calling out to tomorrow's reporters, photographers, editors, and publishers to represent Native perspectives.
Today's agreement allows the Nebraska State Patrol and Winnebago Tribal Police to share enforcement.
The tribe is taking its concerns to the Bureau of Reclamation, which manages and
Native American inmates have filed suit against the prison.
Go to NAJA.com to learn more about membership and benefits. NAJA, raising the next generation of storytellers.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 888-488-6275, 888-488-MARK. Agree or disagree, we always welcome your calls. We're living in a kind of topsy-turvy world where, in a very Orwellian way, the administration claims it's trying to protect democracy and freedom. The president mentions democracy and freedom all the time, when, of course, he's trying to shut it down as best he can. Not just in America. I think most of us realize that in America we're living in a more secretive government, a government that is spying on us without any legal right to do so, without any approval by courts or the Congress, but abroad as well. Even in Iraq, the one country you would think the administration is really trying to promote democracy in, an article points out that in Iraq, the administration has acted to shut down dozens of projects needed to nurture the seedlings of democracy. Joshua Merevchik writes, and he's at the American Enterprise Institute, okay? This is a conservative think tank. Points out that we've shut down political parties, women's and human rights organizations, Now, these are things in Iraq that have been set up by the National Endowment for Democracy, by both Democratic and Republican parties, by the AFL-CIO and labor groups, even the Chambers of Commerce. We're shutting them down. We don't believe in democracy in Iraq. In other countries like Egypt, we are actively supporting dictators like Hosni Mubarak, including supporting him. Dick Cheney gave him this wonderful, wonderful support after he ran a cheating election. I guess, yeah, I don't know, maybe Bush and Cheney, they kind of have this feeling for other people who cheat in elections. Maybe, you know, maybe they just really feel this warm feeling inside for others that to stuff ballot boxes. But in any case, when Hosni Mubarak not only cheated to win the election, but took the man who he ran against, Ayman Noor, threw him in jail, burned down his cultural center, and the judges in Egypt said that that wasn't a good idea, and protests stemmed from that. Of course, he attacked the protesters and arrested a number of them and killed a number of them with blood. And of course, so we support dictatorship in Egypt, and we don't support democracy in Iraq. And I don't know, maybe that's expected. Maybe people, I don't know that the Fox News propaganda people understand this, but certainly those of us who've been watching the Bush administration for some time realize that this is an administration that pretends to care about democracy at the same time as they want empire. They want imperialism, they want oil, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to get there. And so, of course, we support dictatorship in Iraq, and of course, we support dictatorship in Egypt. But something about the flag-burning amendment yesterday really stuck in my craw. And like I said, it wasn't just what most of the Democrats were talking about, which is how stupid it is that we're focusing on flag-burning, which occurs three times a year. Imagine 300 million Americans, and it occurs three times a year. One in 100 million Americans actually burn a flag per year. And yet this was worthy not just of several days of Senate debate. Remember, Senate only works like Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Frankly, they don't even work on Tuesday these days. It's really just Wednesday and Thursday. And they're taking all the time off from any issue you care about to focus on flag burning. But that wasn't what stuck in my craw. What stuck in my craw is this administration was perilously close to permanently making a part of my Constitution a restriction on American freedom. Even the Federal Marriage Amendment, as much as I hated the fact that that the administration was trying to put a discriminatory clause in the Constitution, saying very clearly that gay people were less than straight people and could not have equal rights, that offended me. But it offended me a little less, I think, because the vote wasn't close. They couldn't even get a majority. It was nowhere near the two-thirds. But I'm reading in the paper, and I'm finding out that 66 senators had already been put on record as supporting this amendment. All Republicans but three, and a significant number, about 13 Democrats, maybe a third of Democrats. And I remember thinking, where does it stop? Where does it stop? If you can prohibit someone who's so angry with America that they burn an American flag from doing so, if you can throw them in jail for that thought crime, where does it stop? And I'm not just talking about slippery slope arguments. You know, I got my own problems sometimes with the slippery slope arguments. But think about just the practicality of all of this. The amendment prohibits desecration of the flag. It treats the flag as a sacred symbol. And listen, you know, my eyes can tear up when the flag waves in the wind just as much as anyone. But is it holy? Is America beyond reproach? And what do you do about it? I mean, the president himself has been caught riding on an American flag. Should he be in jail? For the flag thing, not for the other stuff. But the Boy Scouts, the military, both of them are required to burn tattered flags. The idea is you don't put on the flag pole a tattered flag. You burn it. It's actually a sign of respect. So that burning, I assume, would be allowed. Only desecration would not be allowed. Well, how do you determine between one person who burns a flag out of desecration and one person who burns a flag out of honor? How? by looking at their speech. And let me ask you this. If this amendment passed, I had pretty much decided I was going to burn an American flag. Something I would never, ever do. Never do as long as it was legal, because I believe in the principles for which the flag stands. But if they change the law and they make it illegal, suddenly my flag no longer stands for those principles of freedom. Suddenly my flag stands for the principles that Cuba and China and Iran stand for, namely to squelch free speech. And so I was planning to burn a flag. Would that be done out of reverence? I would argue yes. I would argue that protesters who burn American flags in order to stop destroying our First Amendment, which has been left alone for 215 years protecting free speech, they are doing it out of reverence. In fact, I was even thinking I should turn it upside down. But if I burn an American flag while saying a prayer of condolence for the death of democracy in America, as I would do if I were, if this becomes law, I'm going to probably have to burn an American flag and encourage Americans across the nation. Three a year? No, let's make it thousands a year until they repeal such an amendment. But if I did so, making clear that I believe in freedom and democracy in America the way it once stood, if I made clear that I pledge allegiance not to a symbol, not to a piece of cloth, but to the republic for which it once stood before our rights to free speech ended, would I be showing reverence for the flag or its desecration? I think I'd be showing reverence. But at the end of the day, whether I was showing reverence or whether someone else thought I was showing desecration or whether the Boy Scouts are reverent or the military's reverent or desecrating the flag, that would all have to be determined by judges who would parse out our free speech or not so free speech. They'd parse out our speech to determine whether or not we were showing desecration or not. Where does it stop? If you're going to pass a law, it's going to be very difficult. Obviously, I assume you'd have to define it as a flag, right? Because too many people wear flag clothes. I don't know. I think it's kind of a desecration to wear flag underwear, personally. I think it's a desecration. I think it's wrong. Do I think these people should be put in prison? No. But Madonna wrapped herself in the flag, trying to get people to vote. Was it a desecration because it was a Madonna? Or was it reverence because she was trying to get people to vote? Kid Rock wore his head through the hole of an American flag. Kind of offensive to cut a hole in the American flag and wear it. And yet he was invited to speak at the Republican National Convention. Plenty of us have flag shorts and T-shirts. Is that reverence? Is that desecration? Do we really want judges or the Congress to determine that? And so let's say we make it very strict, because Congress didn't say how they would make the law. We make it very strict. We say, no, only a flag with 50 stars that it looks exactly like an American flag. Well, I could extend the blue border a little bit. I could make a flag with 49 stars. I can write a flag, right? It's not hard to write on a piece of paper a flag. So what if they made a 50-star flag burning illegal? Well, I would think it's civil disobedience. I would make a 49-star flag and burn it. Let's say they make that illegal. Well, I could just show the red, white, and blue and burn that. Maybe they'd make that illegal. What if I do an effigy of Uncle Sam and burn him? Is that allowed? So they make that illegal. What if I do an effigy of the President of the United States and burn that? And they make that illegal. Where does it stop? Are we really so insecure that three people in 300 million who burn a flag make us doubt our love of America? Are we really so insecure that we feel like we have to enforce love of country? Because I'll tell you this, and I believe this whether it comes to God or country, you can't force anyone to love you. All these people that would forcibly convert people, I'm sorry. A true loving God doesn't force people to love God, and a true loving country does not force people to love country. You can't force love, folks. The only way to get love is to inspire it. And I'm inspired to love my country by a country that protects my right to speak out. Toll-free numbers 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Are rising fuel prices keeping you at home? Then here's some good news from the IRS. First, your purchase of a new hybrid or electric vehicle entitles you to a tax deduction that could amount to several thousand dollars. And you don't have to itemize to get this tax break. Second, if you're claiming the standard mileage rate for business travel in 2005, remember to figure in the 8 cents per mile increase for the last 4 months of the year. For more news on tax deductions, visit IRS.gov.
The Johnsons. We're not available to take your call. If you're calling about the apartment for rent, please leave your name and number after the beep, and someone will get back to you.
Hi, my name is Sanjay Rana. I would like to make an appointment to see the apartment.
Oh, hi, this is Robin DiPaola, and I'm calling about the apartment. Please give me a call back at 2.
Hi, hello. This is Rafael Paredes. Please call me back at 718.
This is Jeannie Chu. I'd like to talk to you about the apartment. If you can please call me back.
Hello, my name's Clayton Anderson. I'm calling about the ad in the Sunday paper.
Oh, hello, this is Mrs. Johnson. You must be calling about the apartment.
I am. Is it still available?
Well, you're the first person to call about it. Are you available?
Housing discrimination of all kinds is illegal in the U.S. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Which do you care more about, the American Constitution or the American flag? I mean, if you had to have a choice, if you had to get rid of one or the other, which would you get rid of? If someone set it aflame, which would bother you more? A flaming American flag or a flaming American Constitution? The Senate of the United States put that question in my mind to a test yesterday, and the Constitution survived just ever so barely. The House of Representatives had already passed the constitutional amendment by a more than two-thirds margin to change the protection of free speech in America to ban flag desecration. The legislatures of all 50 states didn't seem to care about free speech, at least in their non-binding resolutions to support such a constitutional amendment. And the Senate of the United States, which requires, according to our Constitution, which I still respect, a two-thirds vote to pass the bill, well, they got 66. I remember counting the votes yesterday and thinking, wow, that's only 33. If it's 66 to 33, they will take the first step at ending free speech in America. 34th vote came through, and I breathed a sigh of relief because I have to admit it, I was coming close to burning a flag. In my view, a country that would throw people in jail for thought crimes deserves its flag to be burned. And it would pain me. It would really pain me to do that. And I would burn my flag if I had to, out of respect for democracy and freedom. In fact, I'd probably burn it upside down. But I will only do that if they make it illegal. Because if Congress, as I write on the website, if Congress takes away our constitutional right to express dissent, perhaps the only way to save the republic for which the flag stands is to burn it, to destroy that symbol. I mean, you know, I'm a flag waver. From September 11th until a year thereafter, I put it outside my window. I put it out July 4th. But if I had to burn it, I would. In memory of the country that was once the land of the free, the home of the brave. Again, I would only do it if they made it illegal. Now, some of you, Vicky writes on my website, she finds my reasoning faulty. I asked her to call in. I hope you do call in. Vicky, explain to me how it's faulty. I guess in her view that because I say I would never burn a flag, why would I burn it if it ever became illegal? Well, I'm sure, and I wouldn't be the only one, I would think hundreds of thousands of Americans, if it became illegal to burn a flag, would do just that. Because the flag, to me, represents more than the cloth on which it's written. If it means anything at all, it means the freedom for which it stands. And if that freedom is taken away, then the flag would have to be burned. It's interesting to me that the statute was phrased as desecration of the flag. And it's interesting to me that fundamentalists of any stripe, any religious fundamentalists, would support making a flag into an idol. I mean, Jews, Christians, Muslims as well, all support the idea that the thing is more important than the symbol. That when Abraham knocked down the idols, he wasn't really destroying the other gods. But that to worship the idol was silly. I don't know how many of you know the story. It's actually a Jewish teaching of the story of Abraham in the Bible, where Abraham works for his father, who's an idol maker, actually makes these statues representing. And Abraham thinks it's ridiculous to worship idols. And so one day his father comes home and he sees all of the idols smashed, all just smashed into bits, except for one. One idol isn't smashed, but has a club in the idol's stone hands. And Terah, Abraham's father, comes back and says, Abraham, why did you destroy all these idols? Abraham said, I didn't destroy these idols. That guy, the big idol, he did it. Father says, he's stone, he can't destroy other idols. And Abraham said, then why do you worship him? Why do we worship the flag? Why is it so holy that we fear its desecration? What is the flag? It is a cloth, piece of cloth. Why does it inspire us? It does inspire us, but it inspires us because it is a symbol. It is a symbol of all that is right and good. And if you make a country less right or good, it becomes less of a symbol. I've never understood people who say, love your country right or wrong. How can you love your country right or wrong? If my country is wrong, well, maybe it ceases to be my country. I love my country when it's right. And when it's wrong, I work to put it right because it's my country. America only works if we care about it. I love the Rocky Mountains and the Appalachian Mountains. I love the oceans. I love the beauty that is America. I love the natural resources. Yeah, I love the land. But at the end of the day, it's just land. If we are not an ideal of democracy and freedom, then what are we? What is this flag of 13 stripes and 50 stars? If it does not symbolize something greater than us, then it has no value whatsoever. It is only a piece of cloth. Ironically, by seeking to hold the flag more important than the Constitution, to hold a piece of cloth over people's ideals, the Senate of the United States was one vote away yesterday, poised from making the flag a symbol of derision, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. Because I and many others would have to burn a flag that represented a country that made it illegal to burn such a flag. You know, it's interesting. There was a similar debate recently on the question of a burning cross. Put aside for the question of whether, you know, a religious symbol should be burned. One would think that those that truly believe in their religion would be even more offended if a, let's say, a Jesus on the cross were burned than if the flag were burned. But, you know, that's allowed. We have the First Amendment, unless it's changed, and the right to express any religious opinion we want. But a burning cross, we all know, means nothing about religion. A burning cross, for years in this country, meant one and one thing only. It meant racism. It meant a symbol from the Ku Klux Klan and others, blacks, to fear, to know their place, to support a whole system of systematic racism and Jim Crow laws that made clear that blacks were second-class citizens, if that, they were human at all. As much as I'm offended, and I am offended when people burn an American flag, I'm far more offended when... And the issue came before the United States Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court said, what? You have the right to burn a cross. You have the right to express intolerance and hatred. And Republicans applauded. Yay! We have the right to express intolerance and hatred! It's a great day for America. Well, there are distinctions, and I think they're fair distinctions, between when you can burn a cross and when you can't burn a cross. And the same is true with burning a flag and not burning a flag. Here's a clue. You gotta burn your own. We'll start there. You burn a cross on your neighbor's property. It's not just arson. It is, in my view, a hate crime. You're telling someone your life is in danger. If your goal is to intimidate, if your goal is hatred, and you burn a cross on your neighbor's property, that should be punished. And punished severely, in my view. If you desecrate federal property, if you take an American flag flying over a monument and desecrate that, of course that should be punished. You should not be allowed to desecrate monuments or government buildings. You shouldn't be allowed to do anything with anything that doesn't belong to you. You can't steal someone's flag and burn it. You can't use a flag burning to intimidate someone else. And in fact, there was an alternative amendment, which I supported on the Senate floor, saying exactly that. You can't burn a flag when used to intimidate, when used to incite to violence. You can't take someone else's flag. You can't steal a federal flag. But when it is your own flag, when it is your own flag, you can do whatever you want. And that, my friends, is what free speech is all about. That's what democracy is all about. If people are incensed enough to burn an American flag, then we should look beyond their free speech, find out the source of their anger. And if they're wrong, if they're dead wrong, then they're dead wrong. But you don't throw someone in jail for expressing an opinion. That, my friend, flag stands for anything. It stands for that. And so, yes, I would have supported the alternative, which also prevented people from protesting at cemeteries. To me, that's a lot more offensive. When people are struggling to deal with the deaths of their loved ones, and people show up to protest and say, God hates you, that was a bill that I would have supported. You can't desecrate, I think, a private funeral cemetery, funeral ceremony. My friends, please understand that the value of the flag, very symbol of the flag, the power of the flag, is to protect people's right to speak out. Toll free numbers 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back. After.
Guy James, host of The Guy James Show. If you like factual, hard-hitting, liberal radio, yes, I said liberal, then I believe you'll like our show. We're a proud member of the Head On Radio Network, heard Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time at theguyjamesshow.com. You heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to irs.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. 4484.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. As I sat and watched the Senate debate yesterday, I put aside other news of the week. I couldn't believe that it was happening. I couldn't believe that I was about to see, or could possibly see, a constitutional amendment ending free speech for the first time in America, actually making certain symbols beyond reproach, making desecration of the flag, whatever that means, and I think it'd be impossible to define, making it a thought crime. You know, we don't have amendments that often. And I was really, I have to say, I put everything aside and I watched that debate. And I'm still shocked that we're one vote away. I remember reading John F. Kennedy's Profile in Courage as he talked about the one vote that by Edmund G. Ross of Kansas, Senator of Kansas, who saved the presidency of Andrew Johnson. And I thought, well, one vote did it here today. But now, I don't know. Yesterday, I was incensed about it. Today, it just seems like, I don't know, another Republican attempt to take away our freedoms. And yet, it's really just one vote. And I think that means we have to be ever vigilant. If just one of those 34 members of the Senate had been sick, had an accident, hadn't gotten to that floor in time, well, that's it. We would have the beginning, the end of free speech in America. And, you know, what is desecration of the flag? I mean, people would say, oh, Mark, you know, you're overhyping this. You're overhyping this because, heck, you know. So they would stop flag desecration. But as I pointed out, what is flag desecration? What if it has 49 stars? What if it's just red, white, and blue? What, do we stop? Do we ban clothes with flags on them? Do we ban burning an effigy of Uncle Sam? Does it matter if that Uncle Sam has the president's face on it? It's a very fine line between preventing flag desecration and preventing political speech. Why do people burn American flags? They do so because they are intensely angry at something the United States government has done. Rarely does it mean, though I'm sure in some cases it does, but rarely does it mean they want to kill all Americans. Usually it's because they protest a government policy. And protesting government policies is at the core of what this country is all about. Again, today in the light of day, the vote yesterday by one vote seems like a long age ago, and hopefully we'll win some elections in the Senate, and it'll never happen again. But we came this close yesterday. So I guess I should go back to what I was originally going to talk about in the few minutes I have left. One of the things, of course, that came out last week was the fact that the government is spying on all of us. Now, we know now that they don't just listen to our phone calls and check our phone records and know where we are at any given moment, but they also look at our bank receipts and our credit cards. And, of course, George Bush and Dick Cheney had a fit. How dare you let the terrorists know that this is going on? The New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, and that conservative mainstay, the Wall Street Journal, all reported it. But, of course, Cheney's ire and the president's anger was directed at the New York Times. They don't want to attack the Wall Street Journal. I mean, the Wall Street Journal helps them too much. But what's interesting about this is, was it really news? I mean, if you were listening to the Inside Scoop, if you listen to my program, I scooped the New York Times by several months. Just go to my archives. More than 3 months ago, I reported right here on the Inside Scoop that it wasn't just phone records, y'all. It had to be bank records. It had to be credit card records. This wasn't a government that would sit there and simply monitor where you go and who you talk to. They monitor who you go, by the way, using cell phones. This sounds like conspiracy, but I assure you it's not. When you use a cell phone, the way the cell phone interacts in order to make that phone call is it has to let the telephone system know where you are. The only way you can get and receive phone calls from those cell phones that we all like to use is the telephone company has to know where you are. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I like cell phones in some cases. In many cases, you know, maybe not in movie theaters, but it's not scary if the telephone company knows where you are. It is scary if the telephone company tells the government where you are. See the difference? If the government knows who you're talking to on the telephone. So several months ago, I said it is inconsistent for the government only to be finding out where you are and only to be finding out the names and numbers of everyone you talk to. It's inconsistent for the government only to listen into your phone calls. If they're going to do it, they have to do it pure, full Soviet style. They have to do it as well as East Germany. They're going to look through your bank accounts. They're going to look through your credit card records. I insisted this was true. I remember someone saying, Mark, you don't have any evidence of it. And I said, my evidence is logic. Of course they're doing it. And if you don't think they're doing it, I said at the time, I think you're a fool. Well, the New York Times just confirmed what I gave the scoop on. Sorry, you know, I guess I'm patting myself on the back so hard my hand hurts. But the point is that of course they're spying on your bank records. Of course they're looking through your credit card receipts. And of course they're doing it without a warrant, without a court approval, without congressional approval, because this is an administration that believes it's above the law. Well, Republicans suggested prosecuting the New York Times for treason. Informing Americans that their government is spying on them is, according to Peter King, Republican of New York, it's treason. On the other hand, outing a secret CIA agent and risking the lives of all the people that worked with her, which Vice President Cheney did, that's not treason. Here's the thing. The terrorists know we were doing. They must know. And I have no problem with spying on terrorists. We should spy on them. In fact, we have this thing in the Constitution, which I still revere. The Bill of Rights, which have not been changed yet, although they tried to change them yesterday, says under the Fourth Amendment, if you have probable cause to believe a crime is being committed, has been committed, you get a warrant. You show it to the judge. Probable cause doesn't mean proof beyond a reasonable doubt. I can tell you as a lawyer, you have a reasonable suspicion. That's all it requires. Some reasonable, articulable suspicion. In other words, you know, Osama bin Laden talked to that guy, or Muhammad Atta once had his phone number. That's enough. You go to a court, you get a warrant. The irony in all the anger of Bush and Cheney at the exposing of this by the New York Times is that if they had just followed the law, it wouldn't have been exposed. All they had to do was swear out a secret warrant, go to the courts under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, the FISA courts. They go to these courts, it's all done in secret, and they can spy on all the terrorists they want. If all they wanted to do was to spy on terrorists, they could do that, and they could do it legally. So they must want more. After all, if their only goal was to spy on terrorists, be easy. They must want more. They're spying on us. 225 million Americans, that's you, and that's me, and that's everyone listening to my voice, unless you were lucky enough to have a QWest provider, a Quest provider in the Denver area. They're the only ones that refused. Every other phone company turned over your records. The government knows who you're talking to. They know where you are. They know what you're buying. And don't be surprised if in a political